3.0. So, the agenda today, I'll give you a quick overview. We'll have a problem statement where I'll define an abstract 5G sub-6 front-end radio system and a couple of use cases, a TX use case with tight timing constraints and an RX use case with tight timing constraints. And then I'll go on to discuss a couple of solutions for these problems, strategies, and how to separate the triggering of the front end from the programming, and a couple of revised test cases, and then the topic time triggered designs, defining an RFFE front end master and an RFFE front end controller, slave controller, and a slightly different topic, which will be mappable triggers. It's similar but different. And at the end, any questions? So let's talk about the timing requirements for the RFFE bus. So here we have an abstract 5G sub-6 front-end system. On the left, let's have a look at the laser point here. On the left here, we have the radio frequency integrated controller connected to a single RFFE bus. On the downlink receive chain, we've got four antennas with four low noise amplifiers. And on the TX chain in the uplink, we've got an envelope tracker and a power amplifier connected to two transmit antennas. So we've got 4x4 downlink MIMO on the receive chain and 2x2 uplink MIMO on the transmit chain with interband carrier aggregation. So ideally, we'd like to have a single bus for simplicity. However, in reality, we'll probably have several because the command sequences on the bus will clash with each other. So let's just start with a TX use case with two receive chains. Now, this is the first receive chain. On the top is the data which is being sent to the antenna, and the bottom is the RFFE control sequence traffic. So here we have the previous uplink symbol with relatively high power, followed by the current uplink symbol and its cyclic prefix with relatively low power. If we use subcarrier spacing of 60 kilohertz, then we have approximately 1.2 microsecond cyclic prefix, where we program our shadow register beforehand, and then we want to trigger it before the start of the symbol. Unfortunately, the 34 clock cycles which it takes to trigger is 0.65 microseconds. It's longer than the cyclic prefix, and it's moved into the uplink symbol transmission here. Well, let's move the triggering a little bit earlier, you might say. However, we have two uplink chains. And on this, we have a relatively low-powered symbol followed by the current symbol with more power. And here we have on the bus the envelope tracker and the power amplifier shadow registers being programmed beforehand. And then the triggering here before the end of the cyclic prefix, which is quite good. So if we combine that all onto a single RFFE bus, we have the programming here of the shadow registers for both the TX chains. And here we have the triggering of the envelope trackers and the power amplifiers here. Unfortunately, we've violated our timing constraint, and the power amplifier on TX chain 1 and the envelope tracker on TX chain 1, the trigger, was too late, and we've lost data and we have symbol corruption. So let's move on and do this with a Rx use case. So in our arbitrary system, we had four receive chains. So here we have our downlink symbols of the previous symbols, and 3GPP defines a maximum receive time delay of 33 microseconds. Now this is plenty of time to program our shadow registers of all the low noise amplifiers and trigger them within time. Unfortunately, what generally happens is if the signal is being received but from a single base station, all of the symbols arrive at approximately the same time. Therefore, all the triggers need to be, all the shadow registers need to be triggered at approximately the same time. Now, as this takes 34 clock cycles, each trigger, and this is approximately 0.65 microseconds, if the duration from the beginning of the first trigger to the end of the last trigger is greater than the number of received chains multiplied by 0.65 microseconds, then we've also lost data and we have symbol corruption. So let's look at a couple of potential solutions. So one solution is to duplicate resources. That means, in the worst case scenario, we have an RFFE bus connected to every single front end component. This is not very flexible. It's all hardwired, we have a lot of pins, and it's very costly, and the PCB layout is increasing in size. So the solution we're proposing in the next release of the RFFE specification is to use time triggers. So I'll just give a quick demonstration of this here. So with the current RFFE specification, we have three standard triggers and eight extended triggers. What we're planning to do is add another seven extended triggers and have 15 extended triggers, which we will allow to be time triggered. That means that each trigger bit is mapped to a counter register, which we can load with any value between 1 and 510. That would be this register here. So we program our shadow register as always beforehand with the value we would like our front end component to have upon being triggered. Then we need to calculate the time we would like our front end device to become live from the end of the programming, which would be the 34 clock cycles. This value we call D, we program that into our counter register, and then the clock starts counting down to zero. And upon the transition from one to zero, the trigger is fired, and the shadow register becomes transmitted to the active register, and our front end component takes on a new gain, for example, low noise amplifier. So let's extend this to three triggers, which all need to be fired simultaneously or within a very short period of each other. Again, we calculate our difference in time between the end of programming the trigger to the time that the trigger should be fired. And we write this value into our counter register for trigger A, then for trigger B, and then for trigger C. The counter immediately starts counting down once it's programmed at each point. And upon transition from 1 to 0 of the counter, the triggers are fired here more or less within a couple of clock cycles from each other. So let's discuss a couple of design topics on designing an RFFE with time triggers for a master and for a slave. So the master has a list of trigger actions which it needs to perform. The master then gives these trigger actions to a scheduler, which then prioritizes which trigger should be fired first and which one next here. Once the trigger has prioritized its triggering actions, it dispatches the triggers onto the RFFE bus. Beforehand, again, we program our shadow registers with the values which they should be taken upon being triggered. The triggers are all sent on the RFFE bus. The clock is kept alive for as long as need be until the last trigger is fired. These triggers are then sent as command sequences on the RFFE bus to the slave device. For the master, the hardware doesn't change. The complexity is in the software. Let's talk about the slave controller. With the slave controller, the hardware becomes a little bit more complex. We have not changed anything here. This is this extended trigger mask register and the extended trigger, the 8 existing triggers, and then we have the 7 additional triggers. For example, here, trigger T3 will fire the user-defined register X, and the shadow register will take on the active value. What we've added in the slave controller is we've mapped to every trigger bit a 9-bit counter where only the upper 8 bits are writable. That means we have a potential of setting 510 in each counter, and then this counter will count down to 0, and upon transition from 1 to 0, the trigger is fired. Now I'd like to just give a brief overview of this other feature which we're introducing in the next release of the specification called mappable triggers. So the problem to be solved in the design. So again, the system which we've got existing, we have the extended trigger mask and the extended trigger itself. Trigger T3 and trigger T8 are hardwired to user-defined register X and user-defined register Y. Now, in this case, we can call it a user-defined register set, for example. If we map our user-defined register set X to low-noise amplifiers, and we map our user-defined register set Y to power amplifiers for a low band, and we want to change to a high band, then we have to use a different trigger because these are hardwired. Fixed assignments. So what we've done with mappable triggers is we've taken the existing system and we've put a trigger bus with a lookup table connected to a mapping register where we can map dynamically the mapping of UDI register set X to trigger T3 and the mapping of UDI register set Y to T10. If we change our low noise amplifier register set here from a low band to a high band, we just need to change the lookup table mapping here, and we can maintain the same triggers without changing any software. So basically, the summary is that by using time triggers, we can reduce the number of buses and hardware pins on our device. And by using mappable triggers, allows us a flexible mapping between the front end component and the hardware. And we can dynamically change things on the fly. So this brings us to the end. And does anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Andrew. Any questions for Andrew? All right, I have a question for you. Can you tell us the key deltas between 5G and 4G?
Yeah, 4G, well, for the user, it would be reduced latency and increased data throughput. And for the hardware or the technological solution is that 4G has fixed subcarrier spacing of 15 kilohertz, and 5G, we can have 30 kilohertz or 60 kilohertz. That reduces our time slot from 1 millisecond to a quarter of a millisecond. Therefore, the transition from TX to RX is less than half a millisecond, and then our round trip delay is less than 1 millisecond. That reduces the latency, and of course the bandwidth increases to 50 megahertz, and we can have carrier aggregation of up to 8 carriers on a single antenna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Any more questions from the audience? I'm gonna throw it back at you. No questions? All right, I have one more question for you. What would be the consequences, for example, impact on a wireless modem's performance if it sticks with RFFE 2.x feature set, for example?
Well, you'd have a very complicated hardware, higher pin count, and potentially you won't achieve the with the high switching times, potentially you won't achieve the ability to switch all your front end components within the time window, which is one symbol.
Cool. You don't want to go back too much. Yeah. All right. I have one more question for you. Then why is the masters part of the new feature set so much more complex than the client side?
Yeah, well, in fact, the client is more complex in hardware, and the master is more complex in software because it has to schedule all of the triggering in the correct priorities and could potentially have a lot of clashes depending if your priorities change on the fly. And you want a trigger, and for whatever reason, the priorities have changed, and you overwrite your register with a new value, then there will be a lot of traffic on the bus. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give the audience one more chance to ask you questions. I'm going to start picking on you if you don't ask questions. We have plenty of time